Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, 18 through 22. Jesus calls the first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Hoping the sermon doesn't fly out the window here, but that's all right. If it does, we'll just keep going. I have page numbers too, just in case. Stop what you are doing. I used to hear this all the time from Todd. I would call Todd my friend, but I use that word friend very loosely when it applies to Todd. He lived down the hall from me in college, and maybe some of you have people like that from your life who are down the hall kind of college quote-unquote friends. I would be working diligently for hours upon hours on my coursework, rarely taking a break except to call my mother and say hello. I'm just kidding. But Todd would pop his head into my room probably 20 times a day and say, "Stop what you are doing. Come right now." At first, I thought he maybe needed medical assistance. But when we got to his room, instead of a disaster in need of help, he would just show me a video that he thought was funny, or share that he found some obscure recording of a Grateful Dead song that went on for about 60 minutes, which is too long for any song. Stop what you are doing. That is what Jesus is saying in this passage. We find it right here in this passage this morning, and luckily Jesus does not mean it like my friend Todd seemed to mean it. Jesus arrives on the scene and says, "Stop what you are doing." He says this to the disciples, but it doesn't end with them. But this is the beginning of a call to the life of faith. But it begins with stopping the current course, their life, the current trajectory that their life was on. And Jesus is saying, the time has come, time to stop and follow me. We find in our passage this morning that these disciples, the trajectory of their life was fishing. Now, all the disciples were not fishermen. They all had different jobs, but this first batch were fishermen. Little history of that job. Back then, it was a good trade, a family business. You had to work hard, but you were industrious. One could provide pretty well for a family through that job, but it had its ups and downs. Jesus hits the scene telling the good news of the kingdom and starts as he passes along down the beach. He sees two of them out fishing, out in the water in the middle of the work of throwing the nets over the edge, dragging them back in, hoping to make this fishing trip worthwhile. Peter and his brother Andrew were in the act of fishing. They were throwing the nets, making it happen. And I'm sure it was hard to be open to Jesus' call when they were busy. They were making a living, working hard. They were focused in on that. Maybe it was a good day at work, and they maybe made this call harder. James and John, unlike the other two, were on the shore, and they were mending their nets, getting ready to do the busy work. They were doing the tedious work of fishing. The nets needed to be fixed, which is about as fun as watching grass grow. And they were working with their dad. And they hear this call from Jesus, and they stop what they are doing. They leave their family. They leave their family business. They leave their father right there in the boat, and they're ready to set off. Something I've wondered about, and someone in Bible study brought this up and said that these are bad sons. The Zebedee boys are bad sons and that's one way to look at it. How are they able just to leave their dad and leave this all behind? Part of it might have been that they had been searching and wanting the call of God to happen to them. I don't think this was a decision that was made in a moment, but over time, and they were ready when the time came. They knew that God had kind of primed the pump of their hearts, so when the call came, they were ready. So we need to always be seeking God, connecting with God. So if the call comes, then we're ready. So why did the disciples stop? They all four stop right away, and they follow this call. Why did they? And then why in turn should we do the same? Urgency. Why is there such an urgency to this call Jesus makes? There had been an urgency because the disciples leave. Like we said, there were no 401ks. There were no mutual funds. There was no retirement. The family work was the way you had anything for the future. So this act of stopping and dropping everything is even stronger. But there was an urgency then to the call, and there is one now. There's an urgency here to the message that Jesus brings. It's urgent because the kingdom of God, as Jesus says, is right at hand. All throughout history, thousands of years has been building to this moment. Imagine something next weekend that you're excited about doing, or maybe even this afternoon. And now with social distances, maybe it's just a package is coming from Amazon tomorrow morning. Think about how excited you are for the wait for that truck to come and checking it online to see. Maybe this is just me, but checking it to see, where is it now? Oh, it's in Danbury. Well, that won't take very long, depending on traffic. So imagine the excitement of something that you've been waiting for, and this is thousands of years they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. They've been waiting for Jesus to arrive. So it's even more so. It's closer, the kingdom of God is closer than it's ever been, and more graspable than it's ever been. Now, it's no longer far away, but all one has to do is just reach out and grab it. And so we should, because we learn from the example of the disciples, and their reaction is that all this stuff is not as important in the light of this call that Jesus makes. The good news of the gospel compared to anything is like the light of the sun compared to a candle. I think sometimes we see it that way, but other times we don't see it like that. We see the gospel, the good news in day-to-day life, the gospel in work, the gospel in something else. I have a friend who's a youth pastor, and when his youth ask, can I be a Christian and have a boyfriend, or be a Christian and dance, or be a Christian and play poker, be a Christian and insert something else, he would always say no, and they would always kind of be shocked, and then he'd say, he'd explain that the call is utmost. It's not the gospel and other things, it's the gospel is the most important thing. Any splitting off does not put it in the place that it needs to be. Jesus is saying something here to the disciples and to all of us. God has broken into the world, and this is good news, but it's more than just an idea that's lived out in a vacuum. Fritz Kreisler, the world-famous violinist, he earned a fortune playing concerts and compositions, and he gave a lot of it away, but he discovered this exquisite violin on one of his trips, and he wasn't able to buy it, but he went back and raised money and to meet the asking price, and he returned to the seller, but they had just sold it to someone else. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin, and the collector said that, no, this is too much of a prized possession. I couldn't part with it. I just purchased it, and Kreisler was disappointed, and he said, but can I play the violin before I go, just to see, just to experience what that's like? And the person said, for sure, and this virtuoso filled the room with such beautiful music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. Then the person said, I have no right to keep this to myself. It's yours. Take it in the world and let the people hear it. The gospel is like this. It's only great when it's greatly shared. The idea of the gospel is not useful like that violin. It doesn't do any good on a shelf or in our heads. It needs to be out and be doing. And this is what the call of Christ is. Jesus says, stop what you're doing and share it. So brothers and sisters, Jesus is walking right outside the doors right now. You can see. No one even looking? You're not even going to believe? Okay, all right, you're good. And if you're at home, he's outside your house, your places of work, and he's saying the kingdom of God is near. Stop what you're doing. He says, follow me, leave it all behind to gain what is ahead. We're called to leave it all behind, just like these first disciples. They left their boats, their nets, their families, the life that they knew. He says, leave it behind and you'll gain so much more. Later in Matthew 16:25, Jesus says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Leave it behind, which is not easy. We like things in our life, but when we're able to let them go, we can appreciate them all the more. I know that kind of sounds counterintuitive, but when we see the things in our life through the lens of the love of God, then we appreciate them in a different way. When we do this, we are no longer afraid to lose them or hold on to them so tightly, afraid of loss, that we see them as gifts from God. This makes leaving it all behind, but it also means we get so much more ahead. More life, more love, more of the good stuff, more appreciation for all the amounts of blessings that God's given us. But to do this, to take this plunge, to leave it all behind, we need to really believe that it's true, that it's really this urgency. Is it as important as Jesus says it is? And can we say that? Do we? Can we sit here and say, this is of the utmost importance on this side of the resurrection, of fulfilled promises? Can we stand and say, yes, I hear the call to stop what I'm doing? Disciples didn't know that they were going to gain so much. All they knew was that they had to follow the call. And this can be hard for us. Stop what we're doing. Turn it around. Believe the good news. God is calling to us to stop and follow, stop and connect in a new and powerful way. What God is doing is like my daughter, when she wants to get my attention, she claps and says, Papa, look at me. Look me in the eyes. This is what God is saying to us with this call. Stop what you're doing. Look me in the eyes. Talk to me. See what's going on. See what I have for you. This is what the call of God is. When we hear this call to stop what we're doing, God is saying, stop everything and engage with me, banter with me, talk, follow, give advice, but do it with me. God tells us to stop what we're doing and follow, which is easy to say, but hard to do, right? Or maybe it is easy. Boom. Easy peasy. I know you're all inspired by the message this morning, and now you're going to go, if you have a job, you're going to call your boss and you're going to quit. You can do that right now if you want to break out your phones. It's the only time you can use phones in church. Say, see ya. What can happen sometimes is people hear this and they do that. They do. They quit what job they're on and they follow. I know people that had very successful businesses and they felt called to go to Haiti and they do that and that's their thing and God called them to that. But I think there's another way to kind of understand this idea of stop what you're doing with us for this morning. See, we can still be a teacher, we can still be a banker, we can be an accountant, an engineer, a retiree, a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, but we need to stop doing any of these things for any other reason than to follow God. Jesus says to the disciples in the act of fishing, I will make you fisher of men. But what does he mean? Does he mean go out and get a large rod and start casting it down Main Street here? You know, or rent a cherry picker, you know, the one that picks up the lumber. I'm a Mainer, so I call it cherry picker, but you know, the thing that picks up the logs, like you just go down Main Street and start picking people up and start fishing. That would be literally fishing for people, right? Don't do this at the Danbury Mall or don't get arrested or anything. But what Jesus means and means for us, I'll take what you're doing in your life already and I'll apply it to this new work of the kingdom. He's not being funny. He's not even joking. He's saying you're going to be doing the same thing you're doing now, but instead of selling fish at the market, you're going to be doing it for higher stakes. For more important reasons, you are called to fish for a higher purpose. You're going to fish and catch people in the sea of sin and life and bring them to the dry land of the kingdom. This frees us up so that we don't have to be afraid to answer this call that Jesus is making. We don't need to learn new skills to work for Jesus. You don't have to start over learning new kingdom skills. For these fishermen, all the patience, the strength, the riding out the highs and the lows, all the things that they learned from being fishermen were just applied right to their work in ministry. Adapting to changes in weather, changes that are out of your control, trusting your instincts. These are skills and lessons learned from fishing that apply to the life of faith. And that is what Jesus is saying, that we're called to take what we do and say and trust God will use these for the kingdom of God. I'm sure all those lessons learned from fishing paid off in their ministries. When Jesus died and before he came back, the Gospel of John said they went back, right back to fishing. God never wastes a talent, a gift, or a skill if we're open to God. Jesus didn't say, never fish again. He says, stop doing it for the reasons you were doing it before and start doing it for me. So this is the same for us. We can take the parts of our jobs and the skills and the talents and use them for God. So we are called to stop what we're doing right now and follow this urgency. Follow the power that God has. Stop what we're doing and follow the Son of God. He will use our utmost potential. He'll be the best boss that we've ever had. Just hear his call, stop and follow, and God will take care of the rest. So let's get out there, stopping anything else that we're doing and follow this call. Go fish for people in need of love and care and hope. God be with you all. Amen. Amen.